As I was looking over some notes that I have taken about mindfulness and communications and contemplating these things, I ran across a talk called Experiences in Communications by Carl Rogers, which was given in 1964. It's like, oh my God, that's ages ago. But Carl Rogers was a genius of a psychotherapist and invented a whole form of therapy after him, and continues to inspire me whenever I read his writings, because they are very much aligned with the way that I sense the world. And I wanted to just literally read to you some of this, because it's very powerful enunciation of what it can be like to really listen to other people. And in times like these are the kinds of skills that make things easier. It doesn't solve your problems. It doesn't make it, you know, it doesn't make COVID go away. It doesn't, you know, make whatever issues you're facing disappear, but it changes who you are in relationship to them. One of the things I say sometimes to people that are starting a mindfulness practice is, frequently when you take a moment to pause, breathe, and kind of get in tune with your in-the-moment experience, people report a sense of being more relaxed. And if you really kind of do that for more than just a few minutes, you know, a sense of expansiveness. And I don't mean like, you know, blown out to the cosmos, but I mean just a little bit bigger, a little bit more present, a little bit more of you online. And so what I'll say is, see, your problems don't go away, but they get smaller because you get bigger. And so very frequently, one of the things I'll do with my coaching clients is I'll, you know, we'll embody this kind of a space. And so if someone comes in and they go, oh, I'm having all these troubles with this and this and this, and there's a million details, you know, and as a coach, or you can get into the details and get into fine finessing that. What I like to do is take a step back and say, yeah, the details are important. They matter. And how you feel about them is important. And that matters. But rather than kind of unpack all of that, focus on who you are, or who the client is. And so what I mean by that is, like, landing in a space, an experiential moment where they feel more grounded and more whole and more connected. And that can be as simple as just taking 5 minutes just to relax and don't say anything, but just focusing on your inner experience, your somatic experience, your in the moment body based experience. You do that for just a few minutes, breathing, relaxing, noticing your experience, naming your experience. And you start to feel a little bit more settled. It's like the snow globe. The snow globe starts to settle a little bit. The scene starts to be revealed. And then from this place, I'll ask the client to look back on their problems and see how they seem now. And again, the problems don't go away. It's just that the scene has changed because you have changed. And so in that way, you resource yourself, and that's one of the big values of mindfulness practice, is that you bring your own inner resources that are basically offline because there's just too much static in the system. You make them available to you, and instead of feeling all out of control about an agenda or an upcoming thing, suddenly what's important surfaces to the top. Oh, if I can manage this one thing, then everything else kind of comes into line. If I can be this more resourced person in that interaction that I'm worried about, then I feel a lot less anxious about it because I have more resources I can bring to bear. I can be more thoughtful, less reactive. And that's a really big gift to give to yourself and to the world, because you're going to be making better decisions. You're going to be enjoying your life a lot more and finding ways to connect. And in another way, finding ways to not disconnect, because there's more of you there. And that leads to a much bigger, better experience of the world, even in these challenging times. Because while it's true that we have a lot of, unknowns and stress in the world right now, there is no less beauty. There is no less capacity to savor the richness of your in-the-moment experience as you encounter things that light you up. So you've heard me talk about, if you've listened to the podcast before, learning to lean into what lights you up as a resource. So that's one of the things that happens. You start to get more in touch with your experience. And when you light up, you go, oh my God, I really like this. And you lean into that as a way to inform your nervous system that there's nourishment in the world. There's goodness and beauty in the world if you just make yourself available to it. But if you're stressing about whatever you're stressing about, that isn't available. Now, and again, I'm not trying to talk about avoiding the difficulties of our world, but rather also including the beauty of it and the possibility of connecting to the richness of very simple moments in your life, which can be actually quite profound. And if you don't think that's true, just go to a mountain range and pull over and look at a mountain at night for a while and see if that doesn't influence you. Or just go out and look at the night sky for 10 minutes. Just do nothing but look at the night sky for 10 minutes somewhere where you can see stars and see if that doesn't change your perspective. And let me know, because I'd like to hear about how that works or doesn't, if the case may be. So going back to Carl Rogers, he was asked to speak to the California Institute of Technology, Caltech, as it's often called. And he was struggling with what am I going to say about communications to these technical folk? Like, do I just want to enumerate all the things that I know? And he decided, no, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to talk about things from a more personal perspective. So rather than list all the details of objective knowledge that I know about communication, instead, I'm just going to talk about experientially what it's like for me. So what he says, instead, we are speaking of something more experiential, something having to do with the whole person, visceral reactions and feelings, as well as thoughts and words. Consequently, I decided I would like, rather than talking about communications, to talk with you at a feeling level. And this is not easy. I think it is only possible, usually in small groups, where one feels genuinely accepted. I have been frightened at the thought of attempting it with a large group. Indeed, when I learned how large this group was to be, I gave up the whole idea. And since then, with the encouragement of my wife, I have returned to it and decided to make such an attempt. So that's just sort of the setup, the lead-in. And so the first thing I want to cut to, this is kind of a long speech, so I'm going to select some highlights here. The first feeling I want to share with you is my enjoyment when I can really hear someone. I think perhaps this has been a long-standing characteristic of mine. I can remember this in my early grammar school days. A child would ask the teacher a question, and the teacher would give a perfectly good answer to a completely different question. A feeling of pain and distress would always strike me, and my reaction was, "But you didn't hear him." I felt sort of a childish despair at the lack of communications, which was and is so common. I believe I know why it is satisfying to me to hear someone. When I can really hear someone, it puts me in touch with them. It enriches my life. It is through hearing people that I have learned all that I know about individuals, about personality, and interpersonal relationships. There is also another peculiar satisfaction in really hearing someone. It is like listening to the music of the spheres, because beyond the immediate message of the person, no matter what that might be, there is the universal hidden in all of the personal communications which I really hear. There seems to be orderly psychological laws, aspects of the same order we find in the universe as a whole. So there is both the satisfaction of hearing this person and also the satisfaction of feeling oneself in touch with what is universally true. Well, when I first read that, I thought, oh my gosh, that is so much better than anything I could have written, but is exactly the way I feel about hearing in a deep way when I'm really bringing myself online, so to speak, my more sensitive natures, my parts of me that can listen between the words and behind the words, then I'm hearing something that's, I feel like I'm listening to the speech of humanity, you know, like the struggles of humanity through an individual person. And there are so many common themes, and I don't mean common themes to make it sound like, oh, dismissive, but it's like, therefore they're more valuable in a way. It's like, ah, yes, there's like tides of the ocean. There's like this comings and goings and the rises and surges, and people are engaged with, oh, it's too much for me to manage, or it's not enough. And it's kind of what part of the expression of this universal is someone wrapped up with in their moment, and listening to the whole of it connects me in a way to some kind of a universal experience that's difficult to describe. And I think he did so well. He talks about how this works in his practice here in a minute, that, and I'd really like to express, because it's very, very beautiful. I find both in therapeutic interviews and intensive group experiences, which have meant a great deal to me, that hearing has consequences. Okay, I'm going to underscore that, because that is a book, it's a seminar, it's a web page, it's a podcast. Hearing has consequences. I love that so much. Hearing has consequences. When I truly hear a person and the meanings that are important to him at that moment, hearing not simply his words, but him, and when I let him know that I have heard his own private personal meanings, many things happen. There is, first of all, a grateful look. He feels released. He wants to tell me more about his world. He surges forth in a sense of freedom. He becomes more open to the process of change. I often notice that the more deeply I hear the meanings of this person, the more there is that happens. Almost always when a person realizes he has been deeply heard, his eyes moisten. I think in some sense he is weeping for joy. It is as though he was saying, thank God somebody heard me. Somebody knows what it's like to be me. In such moments, I've had the fantasy of a prisoner in a dungeon tapping out day after day a Morse code message. Does anybody hear me? Is anybody there? And finally, one day he hears some faint tapping which spells out, yes. By that one simple response, he is released from his loneliness. He has become a human being again, and there are many, many people in private dungeons today, people who give no evidence whatsoever on the outside, where you have to listen very sharply to hear the faint message from the dungeon. When I say that I really enjoy hearing someone, I mean, of course, hearing deeply. I mean that I hear the words, the thoughts, the feeling tones, the personal meaning, and even the meaning that is below the conscious intent of the speaker. Sometimes, too, in a message which superficially is not very important, I hear a deep human cry that lies buried and unknown far below the surface of the person. So I have learned to ask myself, can I hear the sound and sense the shape of the other person's inner world? Oh my God, I love that so much. Can I hear the sounds and sense the shape of the other person's inner world? Can I resonate to what he is saying so deeply that I sense the meanings he is afraid of, yet would like to communicate as well as those he knows? I think, for example, of an interview with an adolescent boy. Like many adolescents today, he was saying at the outset of the interview that he had no goals. When I questioned him on this, he insisted even more strongly he had no goals whatsoever, not even one. I said, isn't there anything you want to do? Nothing. Well, yeah, I want to keep on living. I remember so distinctly my feeling at that moment. I resonated very deeply with this. He might be simply telling me that, like everyone else, he wanted to live. On the other hand, he might be telling me, and this seemed to be a definite possibility, that at some point the question of whether or not to live had been a real issue with him. So I tried to resonate to him at all levels. Now, I didn't know for certain what the message was. I simply wanted to be open to any meanings that this statement might have, including the possibility that at one time he may have considered suicide. My being willing and able to listen to him at all levels is perhaps one of the things that made it possible for him to tell me before the end of the interview that not long before he had been on the point of considering ending his life. This little episode is an example of what I mean by wanting to really hear someone at all levels at which he is endeavoring to communicate. That's really it. That's really the key of listening, not just what people are saying, but the context, the whole, the shape of their inner world yields a context to the expression of what they're saying. And that expression is often incomplete and just alluded to. And this kind of listening is uncommon in our world, but we can all approach it. Now, Carl Rogers was clearly a master at this, and we all won't achieve this sort of level of capacity to listen so deeply and with such refinement. And it's not necessary, though, that you achieve, you know, you be a chef to learn how to, you don't need to be a master chef to learn to be a better cook. Isn't it going to help you to have the skill in general? Like, how much better is your life going to be if you could take at whatever level your skill is at now, your listening skill, and you dialed it up a couple of notches just because you spent some time really listening, really tuning your systems to be able to do this? And how much more clear would your disagreements become in terms of ways to resolve them in more satisfactory outcomes? How much more are you going to be able to connect with people because you're hearing not just the words that they're speaking, but the story behind the words, or at least you're sensing into the fact that there could be one, just opening that door for yourself and saying, I know that I'm not hearing everything. I know that I'm, but there's something here. And if you listen, I invite you to listen carefully when someone talks to you, and you'll hear, you can sense it, you can feel it if you just listen. It's in the words when people express things that are emotionally loaded. Like this example of, I want to keep on living. Okay. That's kind of given in a throwaway sense. But if you were to listen to it when delivered by the person who's actually in touch with, I want to keep on living because I made a choice to not kill myself. So I know I want to keep on living. Well, that gives those words a spin, if you will, a flavor, a color that they won't have when spoken by someone who is simply speaking, yeah, well, that's obvious, I want to keep on living, and isn't really seriously thinking about what that means to not keep on living. So in a less extreme example, you could think of someone saying, let me think of an example from the work that I do with people. I was talking with someone the other day, and they were talking about their family, and they said something about their grandmother. And the way they said grandmother just jumped off the page. They were just jumped off in my ears because it was a Zoom session. And they said, well, I was talking with my grandmother, and there was some emphasis on the word. And I knew that what they were trying to say is that there's a connection there. There's a meaning there. And it wasn't in the words that they were using, the story they were telling. But I just circled back around. I said, what kind of relationship did you have with your grandmother? Was that an important relationship? And they just lit up because they had this incredible relationship with the grandmother who had taught them so much and meant a lot to them throughout their life. And only because I caught that emphasis was I able to circle back and land on that as a resource for the person. So that whole stream of what that person learned from that grandmother became important as a resource for them in the topics we were discussing in their lives. It's like, oh, so here's how you learn to do X. Here's how you learn to do Y. Here's how you learn to connect with people, is because your grandmother helped you this capacity to be sensitive and connected at the same time. Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. So can we take that and take it from your family and use it in your work? And it's like, oh my God, yeah, we can. We can open up that whole door. So there's so many ways that simply listening to people for what is unspoken, in a way, what's between the words and behind the words, can be really valuable. Now, how do you begin to do that? Well, that's where the mindfulness practices come into play. There's just, you know, learning to be still enough in yourself to really pay attention in a close way. You can't be multitasking. You can't be thinking about, what am I going to say? You have to have enough presence to be still enough. And I don't mean like Buddha-like presence, although it's in that direction. It's in the direction of bringing your senses to bear on a conversation and a person, both visually and in your auditory senses, and paying attention to your own experience of this other person. When you do that and you get chops with that, which you can do and make big progress in not too long a time, you'll begin to hear things in a way that you haven't heard before. There are so many ways to practice, and I've talked about a lot of them on this podcast, you know, being present with these yummy moments, this, you know, light, things that light you up. That's a practice for how you can be with other people and listening to them. How's that work? Well, when you're paying attention to the things in your world that light you up, and you're noticing how that somatically influences you, and you let that inform your senses, and you lean into it, you take a breath, you go, oh man, that feels great. It's so beautiful to experience that sunset, or that cloud, or that bird, or the tree, or the smile on someone's face, or a flower, or a musical passage, or whatever it is that lights you up. Letting yourself feel that, then when someone's talking to you and they're going, oh, I had such a great time, and they light up, you notice and you go, oh, wow, that sounds like it was really powerful for you. Yes, it was. Oh, you noticed that it was powerful. You're connecting with me in a way that resonates with my experience. You're noticing not just the words I'm saying, instead of, oh, well, what was great about the story, or tell me more, it's, I feel you feeling your own goodness. And there's a way that we connect as human beings in a way that's more than just intellectual. Now, it's not just a story anymore. It's a common world, a common moment that we're sharing that can be really rich and invites even more. Because when you can share the goodness in our world with other people, then that creates a ground where we can begin to discuss our differences and still stay connected. It's very difficult to walk into a conflict when you have no common ground. I mean, just, you know, you just give up on the connection because there's not enough stability, not enough connection to survive the difference. But if you consciously, intentionally focus on building a common ground with people through these kinds of practices, then whenever conflict does enter, you don't have to minimize it, because the connection is strong enough that can enter and you can work the issue to some satisfaction. And if not, it's still not strong enough to kind of break the connection. And so all this, as you can begin to see, permeates through so many aspects of your life. It's all connected. Remember what Carl Rogers said, it's about these connecting to the universal. And so we go from the specifics to this universal connectedness, this universal truth. And when you are connected to that and you're interacting with people, it changes everything. It changes the words you use. It changes the possibilities in the moment. It changes the way you relate to stress. It changes the way that you feel about your goals and objectives in life. They suddenly reprioritize to be more holistically informed and more aligned with your organic evolutionary process, the one that, you know, where you're becoming more whole and more integrated and more of who you are. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want in our lives? Isn't that what we're struggling for? And what we're going to seminars for and studying and working our buns off in these, you know, businesses to kind of gather some money so we can have some resources so we can be happier and have our things, have our world be better at some point? Well, what if you could fast forward to just getting it better? And it wasn't a requirement for all the things that you have to have or all the things you have to do. It's just a matter of how are you going to be? And that's the magic. How are you going to be? All this is about your moment. How are you going to be right now? How are you going to be in this moment? And that's why after the many years of spiritual work that I've done, I've collapsed it all down to one key question that really, truly, in my heart and mind, is the only important work, only important question that has to do with, you know, humanity and spiritual growth is, what is my experience now? What is my experience now? And that answer to that determines kind of, you know, your state of wholeness. If you're connected to the bigger heart of the world, your humanity, the peacefulness that can dwell within this center of being, and you're walking around in that place and interacting with your world, then just living more and more from that space, you begin to become not just a more effective person in your own world, but a creator for other people. You begin to become a means by which other people can sense themselves. And in that way, you transform your life from simply being, I want my life to be better, to just the fact that you're in the room is uplifting the possibilities of the moment for everything around you. And that is the gift of being mindful and present in your world. And how and why I say that this work will improve not only your life and make your life better, but make the world a better place. And, you know, after that's exactly what we need. We need to be that for ourselves and for each other. And if you don't have it because you've lost it because it's going to happen, right? There's so many stresses in the world. It's going to happen. Then you find allies who can be that ground for you, because we all need that for each other. And that's what I hope to do in the work that I'm doing with people. And certainly I need that from other people as well. And I seek them out regularly to say, hey, I've lost my ground. I've lost my center. Can you remind me who I am again? Because I don't remember anymore. And the truth is, if I just take the time to breathe and calm and center, it all comes to me. And that's my wish for you, that you can be connected to the truth of the wholeness of who you are, at least more so of that, and learn to connect that to your voice. Learn to let your acts and your words come from that place. And as you do, you'll find that the world becomes a better place and your life becomes a fairly magnificent storyline. And that's what I would wish for you. And so with that, I hope you have a great holiday and that you're able to take some time to be present with who you are and your experience of the moment, and find many, many, many things that light you up and let them enrich your life. Thanks. If you like this episode, please leave us a review and follow it on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you happen to listen. And check us out on languageofmindfulness.com. I am a mindfulness communications coach, and I'd be happy to talk with you to see if there's a good fit. You can schedule an appointment there, and we can chat. Best to you, and stay present.